Yesterday, you might eat turkey or you might meet a fellowship with some friends or family. But every day, got to be a day where you say, Lord, thank you. There's always something to be thankful about. And we know we can get caught up on the negative of this world or what's happening and all that stuff. You can get caught up in there and forget to be thankful. And then you end up to go down and down. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let's say it all together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. That's a long time, forever. Next verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Is that verse 2? Or is that number 2? Let Israel now say, his mercy endureth forever. Yes. Israel, we're adopted Jew, aren't we? No difference. Okay, let's say all together. Let Israel now say, his mercy endureth forever. That's a long time, right? Verse 3. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endureth forever. Okay, let's say it all together. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endureth forever. Forever is a long time, isn't it? That was quoted maybe 2,500 years ago. I don't know. I couldn't tell you for sure. And we're still quoting the same verse today. Isn't that true? Next verse, verse 4. Let those who fear the Lord now say. Do you fear the Lord today? Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endureth forever. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. And Lord, we do fear you. We do reverence you. We do love you this morning. And Father, we do not say it enough how much we love you and how much we care and how much you mean to us, Father. So this morning, as a group of believers, Father, we just say it. We declare it again, Lord. We give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. So Thanksgiving should be an everyday thing for us. And I'm sure if you look at your life, you'd find a spot or a place where you remember where God took you out of this and brought you there. He took you out of this mess and he brought you over here. And you know, that's what he does. He's good. His mercy endureth forever. So I want to read today a couple of passages. You have your Bible with you? And it's 2 Kings 5, verse 8. And two men that gave thanks to God within hundreds of years apart. They didn't know one another. And the one that we're going to look in 2 Kings chapter 5 is Naaman. How many knows the story of Naaman? Okay, so this is the story of Naaman. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. You know, Naaman heard. Naaman was more or less second in command of the Syrian army. I'm not sure it's a Syrian, but he was a second in command. And what happened to him, he was a leper. You know, he had all the fame, all the glory, top soldier, top commander, everything. But he had leprosy. And probably not that much yet, I don't know, because he could still meet with people. So the little girl told him that there was a prophet in Israel to go see him. So you went to Israel and you went to the king, and the king is not the king. King is not the man. So Elijah found out. And let's go to the next verse. Okay. Okay, with this minute. Then Naaman went with his horse and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha. Who's Elisha? The prophet. Because he had called him. He says, I invite you to come to my place. How many got invited to go someplace before? And the people didn't open the door. They didn't let you in. They just kind of wave out the window, right? Next verse. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. Now he's at the house of the prophet. And he told his messenger, go outside. Tell the man to go and bathe in the Jordan River. That was his command, okay? He says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be cleansed. Wow, this is a good deal, isn't it? Good deal. Next verse. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, okay, he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. See, Naaman was thinking wrong. He was thinking like a man. You know, he's up there. He knows everything. He's important. And he gets there. And he's not treated any better than anybody else. You know, the prophet doesn't come out. You know, he was thinking, you know, the man of God's going to come out and he's going to say, be healed! Or wave his hand or do something. But he didn't do that. The man of God didn't even come out. And he said, go and wash. So what happened? He's upset. He's furious. I don't like this guy. Right? And the next verse. Are not the Abana and the far the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went away in a rage. He's upset. He's upset because he feels he haven't been given the right answer. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something very great or very hard, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be cleansed? Pretty simple. See, what Elisha was after was obedience. You be obedient to what I say and you will receive your healing. That's in between. He didn't say that, but he said, just go and do it. And we don't want to act like that. When God speaks to our heart to do something, and you know is the voice of God is not the pizza that you ate the night before or something like that. You know it's the voice of God that's saying, yeah, be obedient to my word. Been speaking to you in that area for a while. Come on, be obedient. And sometimes we get upset. Next verse. That's a good story, isn't it? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child because of obedience. And he was clean. Next verse. And he returned to the man of God. He got what he wanted. He got God's blessing. He could have went back to Damascus, but no, he went back to the man of God to say thank you. And even though he was a chief and a commander, I'm sure, you know, when he got to the man of God, it doesn't say in the Bible, that's my version, that he probably put his knee down and said, I want to thank you. Because he was used to bowing to his king. Now he's bowing to a prophet. He's really bowing to God and saying, you did it. And he returned and he came and stood before him and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Because he done something for me. Gone all over, did everything, nothing happened. But I went to the God of Israel and he did something for me. Now I know, if I want to know where he is in Israel. He's the God of the Jew. He is Jehovah. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Next verse. And I included this one because, but he said, as the Lord live, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Remember, he had a lot of gift. And he said, no, I don't want anything. See, you cannot buy your healing. You can't buy your healing. I know sometimes I saw a lot of time people say, well, if you give $100 to this ministry, or if you give $500 God's going to heal you. That's not what it says here. You can't buy. You can only be obedient to God, and his blessing will come on you. Not true? You know what I mean? So what am I trying to do? We all have pride in our life. And it's going to come out anytime. You never know. You know, I have pride. I've got to crucify this flesh. And you know, don't tell me you don't have to crucify your flesh. Naaman came to the door with pride, and this is what I thought that he would come out. And we think sometime, well, this is what God's going to do. I think, oh, this is what he's going to do. But sometime he doesn't do it this way. He does it another way. So Naaman came back, and he stood before the prophet, and I know the prophet came out there because he was talking to him at the end. And he said, thank you. He goes on. This was a thankful man. He was a thankful man because his flesh was new. And God has done a miracle in his life. Isn't that awesome? To have a good God, his mercy may endure forever. Now we're going to look at, and we're on leprosy today, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, no, chapter 17, sorry, verse 11. Do you have that? That's another story of leper that happened hundreds of years later. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, talking about Jesus. Next verse. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Why would they stand up afar off for? They were unclean. Now, by the law, I was looking at it, it's from here to the sandal boot is about 16 and a half feet. That's what the law requires, that no leopard would come close to anybody. And according to the Leviticus law, if you look in the Old Testament, you're going to see that when they receive healing, some were healed by God, they went to the priest and all that stuff. But you know, sometimes Jesus sent them to the priest, sometimes he sent them to the pool. Sometimes he put mud on their eyes. He didn't have any technique. He just did whatever he felt the Spirit told him at the time. Who were lepers who stood afar off. Okay, next verse. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master. Well, I got to lift up my voice here a little bit more. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, 10 people screaming, all this. That's pretty loud, right? Okay. So when he saw them, he said to them, they didn't say, we want to be healed from leprosy or nothing like that. And he said, go yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were healed. Isn't that awesome? So they, next verse. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. See, one out of ten. One out of ten came back to Jesus. That's a poor number. How many here that would be healed from a very bad disease would come back and say, God, thank you. You know, Lord, thank you. Okay. And it says, and he fell down at his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. So he fell down on his face. Okay, I'm going to demonstrate that. Okay. How low can you be? Is there any pride in that? There's no pride. The guy was so thankful that he bowed down his face to the ground. That's pretty close to way down there, right? And giving him thanks, saying, Lord, thank you. I mean, the guy asks for something. God gives it to him, and he comes back, and he lays down on the floor. He says, God, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? Pretty sure he was crying. Pretty sure he was crying. You know, Bianca, when you did that song, I don't know what it's called this morning. What is it called? Yeah. I was just about crying. Because he's so good. And sometimes you get a little bit of wave that comes over you. Sometimes when it's a song or it's a thought or you read the Bible. It's God touching your heart, you know. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now the other guy was not a Samaritan. Naaman, he was a Gentile. It's amazing how Gentile can receive from God. Okay, this man, he's a Samaritan, and I don't know about the rest. There probably was Jew in there. There was probably Samaritan in there. There probably, see, Bible says that in Christ there is no male or female. Right? In Christ there's no Jew or Gentile. In Christ there is no color. There's nothing. But when you're a leper, it's the same thing. When you're a leper, you're a Jew, okay. We got something in common. Yeah, we got the same disease, so we hang out together or whatever. So there could have been Jew in there, could have been Gentile, who knows. But all I'm saying is we are, most of us here, we are Gentile, you know. Maybe our root goes back, but all I'm saying, you have some are a different race or whatever, or different color. It doesn't matter. We're one in Christ. And this man here was cleansed, and though he was a Gentile, just like you and me, he came back and said, thank you, Lord. You've done it. And Jesus said, let's look after. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? See, they all got it. You know, God is not picking, one here, maybe one over here, one, you've been pretty good over there, and this. No, they all got it. All got the same blessing. But 9 of them went back. They went back to what? They went back to their wife, maybe. Oh, She's gone. She married Johnny over there. Maybe she went back to that job. Oh, sorry about that. We gave your job away because you didn't show up for 2 years. Where did they go? I don't know. Maybe they went to the temple. But one came back and was awesomely excited. Jesus says, where's the other nine? The next verse. Were there not found any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Next verse. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What was his faith? His faith was being obedient to what Jesus had told him. Go. He could have stayed there and the other nine gone. What do you mean go to the priest? I mean, look, I got leprosy. He could argue about it. He could have done all kinds of things. But he didn't. Go to the priest. Okay, good enough. You ask for something from God, then, you know, it's sealed, and you go, and he does it. There was no pride in that man. Now, right? There was no pride. And that's how we got to come to God, without any pride. You know, some of us here should be dead. Because of the stupidness we did. And I could probably tell you a story of my life where I was drunk or I was driving and I should have been dead now. But God's mercy upon my life and God's mercy upon your life pulled you out of there. One time I was about 12, that was about 50 some years ago. How many remember that 50 years ago, they didn't do the hay the way they do it now? They didn't have baler. They put it in a big pile and they forked it into a big platform thing and they took it in the barn, right? And I loved the ride. You know, I'm only 12 years old. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, you're telling your age there. Yes, yes. So I was sitting on the top of the hay in the wagon, which is about the same height as this because it's high. When you get to the barn is probably 9 feet high, but then the stairs, second story. So you're going up like this. You're going up like this. From where I was to down there, which was rocks, is what had to be 18 to 20 feet. And somehow, whoever was driving was not very good. And it just kicked and I went off. All I remember being in the air coming down. I was coming down head first like this. Right on the stone. You know that's enough to kill somebody? Break the neck? But by the mercy of God, my leg got caught into a couple of beams that was sticking out. One was a little shorter. And my feet got, and all I remember is hanging by the foot about that far from the rocks. And you know, it was so vivid, and I was thinking, wow, you know, I didn't know God, but God saved my life. And I know a few more times, and I mean, I could open the mic here, and we can have a testimony about how God saved you. You didn't know him. But you were heading for this and this happened or an accident or a sickness or whatever and he saved you from it. So if he saved you from your stupidness a few years ago, can he not save you now from whatever is going through in your life? Because he's good. His mercy endureth forever. We want to be like that little Samaritan guy, come back and say, God, you've done it again in my life. God, I'm so stupid sometimes, but you came true. Look what you did with my life. My family. Look what's happening. Isn't that true? When you realize and you say, God, it's all because of you, it's nothing that I've done. Then you humbly come before you, before him, and you say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because you changed something in my life. So two men came to Jesus with the same sickness, and two men were very thankful. We don't know about the other then, but Jesus was impressed to see one come back. He would have liked to see 10. He would have liked to see the whole family of leopard come in and say, yeah, thank you, Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You have something to be thankful about today. You know, when you come to the place where you can say, God, thank you. Lord, thank you. Not today and nothing tomorrow, but every day. When you get up, you're breathing. Maybe your foot is sore, but you're breathing. You can raise your hand still. And you say, Lord, thank you. I am yours. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Little things, big things. You've done so much. You know, Thanksgiving has to be for believer only. And the fact that we really mean it. And you know, if we're so thankful before God, people will see that in our life. What are you so happy about? What are you so thankful about anyway? Look at your life. Your car's broke. You haven't paid your rent last month. And your foot is crippled and all that stuff. I'm happy. Because I know him. And he's well able to do what he said he would do in my life. So I'm going to keep thanking him every day, following him, obeying his word. And his voice. And I know that in Christ Jesus, I have the victory. We can focus on a lot of stuff. There's war going on. There's sickness that they don't know what to do. That's going across the world. Won't even name the name. Things are happening. And there's confusion. And there's war. And all that stuff. But listen. We know him. We know what he can do and what he will do. And you know, when we connect with him and we believe the same way as these men believed, then we will see the victory in our life. Nobody said that it was going to be a bed of roses. Maybe they told you that when you got married, but that was a big mistake, right? Because it comes a hard time. Because it comes time that you got to shape, you know, like iron sharpen the iron, and you know. And with God, it's going to be the same thing. It's not going to be easy. But the commitment is there. The obedience is there. And in him, friend, in him, we have the victory. You know, I lost my note, right? I know, I lost my note, so that was when I start, that's when I lost them. But I'm working on it. It's like last night, my wife's sister, she sold her house and moved into a new place, and we got another car, and have no phone, buy a cell phone. She doesn't know how to even plug in the TV. So nobody could phone her, nobody could contact her, everybody thought she was dead. So we drove by, we went over, and we explained to her, this is technology, girl. She's 80, right? Technology. This is a cell phone. let's go back with the basic here. And we just kind of shoulder and run it. And we called her this morning, and she answered. Wow, she's all happy. It works. It works. Well, God's word works. For us, you know, to be obedient, it's new technology. I mean, you know, we're so human-minded. We're just so, manly or womanly. You know, we just think like, but we have to change our way we think and become obedient and change. And it's not that bad. See, once you start to walk with him, you don't want to stop. Except the enemy is going to try to trip you and to block your way. But we're not going to let him, right? So one thing you have to do then is say, Lord, thank you. Can I hear you? That's good, but that was poor. Let's do it again.
Lord, thank you.
Better. Come on, we can do more.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. I'll say it, you say it with me. Lord, thank you. Okay, let's hear the man. Lord, thank you. Let's hear the woman.
Lord, thank you.
Well, men, we got to do better. Yes. Okay, bring back, okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. Now, if we would be in a black church right now, you probably would stand up. Okay, come on, stand up. You forgot. Okay. Okay, good. Let's do it again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You got to move your body when you say that. Come on. Yeah. All right, are you ready? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's a little better. One more time, but a little more gesture. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and do this song. What we're going to do is we're going to do this song. We're going to worship him, okay? But a while ago, we worshipped him in truth. But now we really, really, it's between you and him, not your neighbor. Forget your neighbor. If you have to close your eyes, close your eyes. But you can have your eyes open and be totally focused on God. Isn't that true? So that's what I'm saying. We're going to do this song. We're going to be focused on him. Because today, of all day, it's his day. Mm-hmm. We bless your name, God. We're going to be doing that next week, probably, again. And those are testimony from last year. I just put them aside. And it says, I was abandoned as a child, right? But accepted as a child of God. That's his goodness in our life. This one, I served Satan, the occult, and witchcraft. Well, we know that's your name, Bill, right? But now I serve Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Incurable sickness close to death. Those are testimony. Those are people who went to God and said, God, I need help here. Can't do it on my own. And it says, God, restore me to health. Heal my leprosy, leprosy. This one is pretty simple. I did not know him personally. And it says, now he is very real to me. And I'm going to finish with this. If Jesus Christ is not real to you, he's not saying no, he's saying yes. He's saying today is the day of salvation, the day of restoration in your life. And he's calling you. And you make the decision today. And you can come and talk to my wife after. Right? You'll be around? Awesome. It's a good God. It's a good God. Awesome. Are you thankful? You have a testimony, and God done something in your life. So don't keep quiet about it. You can share it to the people out there. They're waiting. They're waiting. You may be seated. Is God good?
Amen. Can I share my testimony? Okay. I just have one little testimony I just feel to share with you. And, you know, sometimes, like we're talking about being thankful, but sometimes we get into situations where we don't feel very thankful. But I find for myself, God always shows me, you know, things. So for an example, I had broken my arm and it was really bad and it was hanging that way. And they had pins in it and they had wires and all kinds of stuff. And it was very painful. And I'm thinking, God, you know, we complain as Christians. Anybody here complain? And I'm complaining and I'm saying, God, my arm, and why did this happen to me? And, you know, all this stuff. And God is so good and he's so merciful. And I'm sitting in a restaurant in Brighton, Ontario. Everybody knows where, you know, Brighton. And I'm sitting there and God's saying to my heart, you should be thankful. You know, it could have been a lot worse. Actually, he healed my arm. I was supposed to have a disease in it and he healed it. But the thing is, I'm sitting there and I look across into the dining room and there's a man sitting there with two steel prongs, one on each hand. And I'm thinking, my God, I'm complaining. And this man, now imagine seeing this in Brighton. I don't know how God arranges this, but he does it. And this man's sitting there eating with these two prongs. And I became very thankful that I had an arm. And you know, we don't need to wait for God to show us. Let's be thankful all the time, right? Knowing that God is taking care of us. And like I said, he healed my arm. The doctor said I would have to go to Kingston every month for needles in my fingers. And at the final examination, they said, you're fine. You don't need this. And my arm is perfect. So God is so good. And so we don't need to complain because then he's going to show us we should be thankful. Amen?